الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama-i kiram, brothers and elders. This is also one of the very concise du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like the many, many du'as, many of which we read in, or we also remember these du'as when we are asking, but many of them we are probably not even familiar with, but the books of hadith are filled with the du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this du'a also is a very, very concise du'a. And as mentioned many times when we discuss these du'as, that these du'as on the one side are du'a, but they are at the same time ta'aleem. They are volumes of knowledge, oceans of knowledge. And everything is, if it's taken to heart, it will bring us onto the direction that will take us safely to Jannah. So in this dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the ma'soom Nabi of Allah ta'ala, he is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his asking is actually teaching us, but we should be asking also. The first aspect here is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you from such knowledge which does not benefit one. So knowledge in the times that we live in, there's volumes of knowledge, libraries of knowledge, all at the press of a button. And things that previously people had to go to great extent to access those volumes and those books and titles, etc. Now it is at the press of a button, and he is in far off places, deep in some library somewhere, and deep inside some volume, which to even get to that point would have been a very difficult task once upon a time. And in some cases, and in many cases actually, not even accessible to the average person, because many of these things, until recently, were only in manuscript in some library. Now it's, perhaps somebody put it on the computer in some way, so now it's available in some PDF. But other than that, can't access it. Now all this is available. But does that mean that because so much of knowledge is available, and if a person has absorbed a lot of this, so then his work is done, he is now accomplished? No, that's not the case. If that was the case, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have taught us to make this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Ya Allah, I seek your refuge from such knowledge which does not benefit. So in other words, knowledge in itself is not everything. But that knowledge which becomes a means of benefit. What benefit? The benefit what is meant to be achieved from knowledge. And the benefit that is meant to be achieved from knowledge is that ilm must bring us to the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. Ilm must bring us onto the path of Jannah. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِطَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That the one who walks the path of seeking knowledge, through knowledge, Allah will pave the way to Jannah for him. So if that knowledge does not bring amal, if that knowledge hasn't brought the practice in our lives, then that is ilmin la yanfa. That is knowledge which hasn't benefited. If that knowledge hasn't improved one's akhlaq, it's knowledge without benefit. If that knowledge hasn't made one conscious of Allah Ta'ala, then that benefit hasn't been derived from it. The knowledge is excellent in itself, but what we make out of it, we haven't taken the benefit of it. That knowledge was supposed to bring us closer to Allah Ta'ala. If that knowledge hasn't brought us to recognize our Rabb, hasn't brought us to stay away from things Allah is displeased with, hasn't brought the zeal for getting closer to Allah Ta'ala through amal, then for us that knowledge hasn't been beneficial. That very knowledge can become a burden for a person on the day of Qiyamah. Because on the day of Qiyamah, person won't shift from the spot he's standing on until he be asked four questions. And one of the questions is, one ilmin mada amila fi. Then how much did he practice on his knowledge? So the knowledge was there, there was no practice. That is a musibat now. That is a burden. So ilmin la yanfa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us this dua to highlight this importance that look, knowledge is not an objective in itself. It's a means to an end. And the end is to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. To recognize Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The knowledge must become a means of getting to Jannat. How? By bringing practice in one's life, amal in one's life. By bringing khashiyat and the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala in one's life. So nowadays, especially, this is a very, very dangerous thing that people have everything at the touch of a button and go into anything and everything, and anything that sounds very good, that becomes a source of knowledge. Because it sounds very captivating. That becomes a source of knowledge. How authentic it is, that's another matter. The first aspect in this dua that we have been taught, which is teaching us so many lessons, beware of where you take your knowledge from. Otherwise, let alone being not beneficial, it can be extremely detrimental. Can be extremely detrimental that it can take a person completely in a different direction. And there's no shortage of how many people are becoming self-taught experts. And after learning a few things here and there, now they are experts, they will give you fatwa, they will tell you many things, but when you get to the root of it, it's another matter. So we have to be very, very cautious. The first aspect was ilmin la yanfa. And then the link, that if this ilm is not going to benefit, then the heart is going to be still dead. Otherwise, if that ilm benefits a person, his heart will come alive with it. So therefore, the second aspect asked for in this dua, that which refuge is being asked from, وَمِنْ قَلْبِ اللَّهِ يَخْشَى. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from a heart that is devoid of any fear, that doesn't have any khushu. The heart that has become hard. And as a result of the hardness of the heart, it is first the land of the heart that the drought sets in. And when the land of the heart has been afflicted with drought, it has become like hard ground, then the drought comes in the eyes as well. That I cannot shed any tears in the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, in the fear of Allah Ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, with regards to akhirat, thinking about akhirat. It's just beyond the eye to shed any tear for in any of these aspects. Why? Because the drought has come in the heart, it has dried the eyes up also. And the hard heart, this Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sought refuge from in another dua. Qaswatil qulub, from the hardness of the heart. Like that ground, when it becomes hard, what grows out of it? No tree can grow out of that ground, no vegetation, no grass, it's bare, you'll find some thorny shrubs coming out somewhere. Otherwise, it'll be just rocky ground, things sticking out, very hurtful, painful. If somebody falls on it, he'll get injured. He walks on it, it's difficult to walk. And maybe he drives on it, his tires are in a danger. Rocky, hard ground. Now, no benefit out of it. So likewise, when that heart becomes hard, then the benefit of that heart dries up. It cannot take any benefit out of nasihat, out of advice. And that heart has become hardened, so now that heart is not inclined towards righteousness. It's not inclined towards any goodness. That heart becomes absorbed in dunya. It's the only thing that heart will be engaged in. Ghaflat, heedlessness, unmindfulness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, ask for a heart that is alive and seek protection of Allah ta'ala min qalbi la yakhsha. If you look in the lives of the sahaba ikram, Nabi kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter throughout the ages, all the pious personalities will find this glaring aspect in their lives, the khushu and the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and how humble they were in front of Allah ta'ala. That this was their, everything brought them back to the consciousness of Allah ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, the greatest personality of the ummah, after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, he has the highest rank. But now what makes a person of this caliber? Sometimes we sitting and thinking that I wish I was a blade of grass and some animal came and grazed on me and that was the end of me. Why would he think like that? Did we ever think anything like this? How come we didn't ever think? So something must be wrong with him, na'uzu billah. What made him think like this? That I should have just been a blade of grass. Or I should have been a hair on the body of a mu'min. A good mu'min. Now he is the highest ranking personality of the ummah. See, I should have been the hair on the body of a good mu'min, so I'll also go to Jannah with him. Because he's a good mu'min. He is the highest ranking personality, but that fear in his heart makes him think himself as nobody and nothing. And rather, worried about what will be his outcome on the day of Qiyamah. How he will fare on the day of Qiyamah. What will be his condition at the time of Maut. When this kind of thoughts come, when there's khushu in the heart, when the heart is alive, when the heart is conscious of Allah Ta'ala, then the heart starts worrying about this. And otherwise, my ticket to Jannah is reserved, double booked. So this khushu, the incidents of the pious, if we read in that, it'll amaze us that subhanallah, what kind of people these were. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who was famously known as the second Umar after the Khulafa'i Rashideen, then he later on when he came and he became the Khalifa for a very short span, some 2 years and a few months, he was the Khalifa until unfortunately he was then poisoned and he passed away. But in that short time, he brought alive the memories of the Khilafat of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. That justice and that meticulous manner in which he governed and ruled, and with the fear of Allah ta'ala that he engaged himself in all the affairs of the state, and all the other things that went along with it. His wife, who was the daughter of a king, she was a princess. Much later, after he passed away, long later, one day she just started crying. Somebody asked her, but what happened? What's making you cry? So she said, there's one night, one particular night, otherwise there were many, many nights like this, one particular night of my husband, whenever it comes to mind, I cannot help but cry. There is no time that I ever remembered this, but it always reduces me to tears. Now this was a time when he was a Khalifa. He says he was reciting Quran Sharif at night in his Salah. And in the Salah he came to Surah Al-Qari'ah. Al-Qari'atu mal-Qari'ah. The striking event. That very great striking event. Ma adraka mal-Qari'ah. What's going to explain to you what this is? And then further Allah Ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. Referring to Qiyamah, that striking event of Qiyamah, when the trumpet will be sounded and it will bring everything to cause destruction in the entire universe. So, what will be the case at that time? How things will be? يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. Then people will be like scattered moths. Sometimes see butterflies, moths, all over the place, just scattered. People, insan will be like this. And وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. And the mountains will be like carded wool, fluffed up wool, just flying around in the air. That wool, that just like cotton wool now, you just see one small dust and somebody dusted something, it's all just floating in the air. That's how the mountains will be floating. And now this whole scene of Qiyamah gripped him. As he's reciting Quran Sharif, and now these ayat came, this whole scene of Qiyamah gripped him so much that he fell to the ground. Weeping, he fell to the ground. And then he fell unconscious. And then he regained his consciousness. So she says he leapt up. And then began pacing up and down and saying, what will be my condition on that day when the mountains will be floating like carded wool? How will I fare on that day? It says he continued in this manner, sometimes falling down unconscious, sometimes waking up, sometimes he thought he had passed away too. And then until the Fajr Azan was called out, then he left the home and went for the Fajr Salah. Says, whenever I remember that night, I cannot help but cry. He's the Khalifa of the time, and the authority he has, and everything at his, but all that didn't distract him one bit in his consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. And to this extent, that he, from the time he was made the Khalifa, he detached himself from everything to do from the world. And didn't even take any material benefit out of the Baytul Mal, to the extent that when the day of Eid came, his children are crying, they don't have any, everybody else is boasting, well, showing off about their new clothes that they have, and the children of the Khalifa and old garments. So now he felt a bit sorry and he went to the treasurer of the Baytul Mal, who he had appointed, working under his instruction. And he said, please, if it's possible, if I could have next month's salary in advance. He says, next month's salary in advance, by all means you can have it, but provided you can give one guarantee. What guarantee? Who's talking to him? His subordinate, who he appointed as the treasurer. What guarantee? A guarantee that you live to work for the next month. If that guarantee is there, that you will live till the next month to work that whole month out, then I can give you the salary in advance. But if you can't guarantee you're going to be working for the next month, you'll be alive, I want to give it to you in advance. He said, no, you're right. You are right. The Khalifa is speaking to his subordinate. You are right. And he left it. And he came back and he said, no, sorry, we don't have anything. Because what salary was there was just barely enough to just make ends meet at the very basic level. At the most basic level. That was it. But now what brought him to all this? This khashiyat, this consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Now this doesn't come just on its own. They made an effort on their hearts. They made an effort in getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. They worked on themselves. They took that benefit through being in the company of the pious of the time. And by pondering over the ayat of the Quran Sharif, by remembering death, by exerting themselves in amal, by pondering about the reality of Qiyamah, what will be my condition on the day of Qiyamah? Imagining oneself on that occasion, how will I fare when my book of deeds are going to be given away? It will be my right hand, left hand. When I will open that book of deeds, what will be inside there? How will I cross the Pulsiraj? All these things they sat and thought about. What's going to hold me back? What will help me forward? How much of weight and baggage I got that I'll have to carry along? Can I manage it? I'd rather offload this weight now with sincere tawbah, with sorting out my issues with people, fulfilling the rights of people around me or whoever. Because I can't carry this baggage on the day of Qiyamah. But now they sat and thought about all this. They pondered, they meditated, they begged Allah Ta'ala's help. So gradually this khushu came, and it came more. And with the barakat of the company of being in the company of pious people, being in the company of those who had the fikr of akhirat, they weren't absorbed in dunya. That impacted on the hearts. This company is extremely crucial. If a person is often and constantly or often in the company of people of ghaflat, people who are heedless, all about entertainment, all about merrymaking, all about just passing time, all about just idling around, then that ghaflat will become part and parcel of this person's life, regardless of prior to joining that company, how conscious he was. But that company will leave its mark on him, and it will leave a very deep mark. The company, the effects of company, a person can't escape. Somebody who hasn't sworn his whole life, sit in the company of people who swear for 2 days, 1 day maybe. 1 day might be enough. Maybe one sitting might sometimes be enough. And he's going to find something slipping off his tongue. It'll happen. As much as he'll want to stop and, or rather avoid it, but the effect of that company will have its impact on him, and he'll find his tongue slipping also. And then when he keeps in that company more and more, he'll think nothing about it too. He'll just blurt out and think nothing about it. And then if he sometimes thinks about it, not right to, well, not that's such a thing to worry about. See now. Those who had that consciousness in their heart, they never thought we'd see. They were very worried what we might see. One very great muhaddis, a tabi'i, Muhammad ibn Munkadir, rahimahullah, he one day just started crying, weeping also. I started crying. So the people around, his family people, they asked him, what's happening? He was so overwhelmed with this grief or whatever, this emotion, that he couldn't even speak properly. He couldn't even explain anything. So they eventually went and called Abu Hazim rahimahullah, another very great personality of the time. He said, please come and see what's going on. He's weeping so much. They were getting worried just now, something will happen to him. So Abu Hazim rahimahullah came. By that time, Muhammad ibn Munkadir rahimahullah had sort of somewhat calmed. Abu Hazim asked him, what happened? He said, well, nothing happened really. It was that I was reading the ayat of the Quran Sharif, and the ayat where Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ لَفْتَدَوْ بِهِمْ مِنْ سُوءِ الْعَذَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That if the oppressors, those who have oppressed themselves, oppressed others, if the oppressors, if they had owned the entire world, everything on earth, and not just that, twice the amount. If somebody was owning, who can own twice? Somebody says, okay, by just imagination, he owns the whole world. Who's going to own the whole world? But somebody just runs his imagination. Okay, he became the owner of the whole world. Where's going to bring twice the amount? That's the end of it. Where's going to bring twice the likeness? Allah says, even if he had double, twice the amount also, then he will want to ransom himself with this entire, twice the amount of this world also, from the severe punishment of Jahannam, in su'il azabi yawm al-qiyamah, the severe punishment that he will see on the day of Qiyamah awaiting him. And then actually what he was referring to is the ayat, that then the part of the ayat that follows after that, وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. That will appear in front of them from Allah Ta'ala's side, which they couldn't imagine. Which a person couldn't imagine. He thought all this was just by the way. He thought all this was just a light thing, trivial thing. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You regard it as trivial. In the court of Allah, it's very major. Don't regard that one vulgar word addressed to somebody as minor. It's very major. Don't regard that trampling somebody's right as minor. It's very major. Don't regard discarding that one salah as minor. Or just treating some other things of deen. By the way, all these things become severe matters on the day of Qiyamah. You see, وَبَدَالَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ. That will appear in front of them from the side of Allah Ta'ala, which they couldn't imagine. Now, when he mentioned this, that this was the ayat I was reading, and this is what overcame me, Abu Hazim rahimahullah, who came to visit him, came to calm him, came to console him, he burst into tears. And when he started crying, Muhammad ibn Munkadir again broke down. So his family people said to Abu Hazim, we brought you to come and now calm him down, to console him. You came and you brought back the whole thing. Because you started crying. He said, what do I do? This ayat of the Quran Sharif is such that it just shakes the heart. And what's going to appear for me? What I thought was just all, by the way, in my books of deeds. I didn't even make tawbah from it. I just took it for granted. Just carried on with life like nothing happened. What will appear before me? Now, these are people who, mashallah, they're so conscious. And if they slipped up somewhere, they would take the effort and make the effort immediately to clear the situation, turn to Allah Ta'ala in earnest dua, in beg Allah's forgiveness. But this was the khashiyat of their hearts. And that person has this khashiyat who is close to Allah Ta'ala. The closer a person is to Allah Ta'ala, the more he's afraid. That what will happen on the day of Qiyamah? How will I fare? I mustn't get taken to task for something. I didn't overlook something by chance, which I thought was trivial, but what it was in the court of Allah Ta'ala. This khashiyat. So this is the way that these people, their hearts were, and that is what, when a person's heart is alive in this manner, then that drives him towards a'mal. That drives him towards fulfilling the obligations of deen. That khashiyat drives him away from sin. That will move him. How can I cannot take a chance with this? Because on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be raised the way he died. وَتُحْشَرُونَ كَمَا تَمُوتُونَ. The way he dies is how he will be raised on the day of Qiyamah. What if my death comes away in that moment? I'll be raised in that manner. Allah forbid I'll be raised watching what? Allah forbid if the last words came out of my mouth or something vulgar, is that what I'm going to be raised speaking? So now that concern will come. So these people who had this consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, they thought in this manner. They were concerned. So now to ask Allah Ta'ala for safety from this heart that doesn't have khashiyat. But then there is a process and there's an effort to take that qasawat out, that hardness of the heart, like the hardness of the ground. We have to get some major earthworks equipment now, because just raking that ground is not going to help. It's going to become so hard and rocky. I'll have to bring something that will plow this land properly, some heavy machinery or whatever, and some great amount of effort will be required to remove all the big rocks and whatever out of it. Now it will become capable of now giving growth to some vegetation again. And after it's watered with the tears of the eyes, out of the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of concern, if a person says, but I can't bring myself to cry. Now this is not voluntary in any case. The crying of the eyes is not voluntary, but the crying of the heart is in a person's control. If he engages his mind correctly, he'll cry. And therefore Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, he says that, cry out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, and if you can't find any cry, then cry over the lack of cry. Because it means there's no heart. The heart can cry, it doesn't matter whether the eyes cry or not. It's how the heart is engaged, in what it is engaged. If you can't find any cry in the heart, then cry over the lack of any cry. Then cry over the lack of an heart, a spiritual heart. So this is a process then. Then it requires a person submitting himself to somebody who can guide him, who can help him, who can show him the path of how to treat the illness of the heart. And how to remove all these rocks, all these things that become major obstacles that block the path, like that land that has now become totally hard, and all the rocks and stones and everything lying on. Now that beneficial rain comes also, it just runs over it. At the most, it's just moist for a while. One slight breeze also, and it's all dry. So now the benefit of that doesn't seep in. Why? Because this is all... Now the same thing happens with the heart. Like in the Hadith Sharif, it is mentioned that when a person commits a sin, nukita fi qalbihi nuktatun sauda, a dark spot appears on his heart. And if he made tawbah, sincere tawbah, istighfar, it's cleaned out. But otherwise, it's there. Then another sin, another dark spot. Third sin, third dark spot. And then this starts becoming layers. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ Allah says this rust has now come over their hearts. It is due to the actions they have done. So now nothing is coming in. It's all just running off. So now how to take that rust out? How to plow the land of this heart? How to connect the heart again to Allah Ta'ala? How to infuse some life into it? The process for all that. All this is also something to work on. There's an effort in it. It doesn't happen just by just imagination. Or just, well, okay, someday we'll see. Someday Allah knows best when's our mouth. How far away we are from that moment. We have no idea. It requires an effort. It's the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Very constantly making the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. The tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Allah gives tawfiq then with that tadabbur, with that meditation on the ayat of the Quran Sharif. It is with abundant istighfar. It is with earnest tawbah and dua. Earnest dua. Dua, mashallah, we make dua also. But dua, those who truly understand what dua is all about, the dua that they make, and how they turn to Allah Ta'ala, the same khushu and dua. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, one of his companions, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, once asked him that, describe Ali radiallahu anhu to me. So after Ali radiallahu anhu passed away long after, he said, please describe him. I want to know about him. He said, what can I describe? Please excuse me. He said, no, you'll do it. So he says, when it used to be in the darkness of the night, and now this was being explained as not an odd occasion, a regular, okay, every day, every night, late in the night, when the night has now come over everything, the darkness has come over everything. Now in the darkness of the night, he will be in his place of salah, in his home. يَتَمَيَّلُ فِي مِحْرَابِهِ And how? قَابِدًا عَلَىٰ لِحْيَتِهِ Holding on to his beard, like a person in extreme, what he might have done, and that grief. Now he is holding on to his beard, and then, يَتَمَلْمَلُ تَمَلْمُلَ السَّلِيمِ وَيَبْكِي بُكَاءَ الْحَزِينِ He used to be weeping like a person who has been bitten by a poisonous snake. He would be writhing in that manner. And he would be weeping like a person in extreme grief. And he would be beseeching, Ya Rabbana, Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala give us one iota of this too. But now these people, despite being who they were, but this was how they spent their nights. And how is our night spent? Pressing which buttons? Watching what? Half the night, tilawat time is not available. Zikr time not available. Istighfar time not available. Dua time not available. The Hajjud, who's going to ask about? Fajr is in a problem. And why? Because screen time. Screen time came and took everything away. And that too, if it's halal, what was on the screen, that too is one ghanimat. But otherwise, that time also is a disaster, that so much of time was lost in it. And otherwise, if it's gone out of halal, gone to haram, Allah forbid. Now he's spending his night in this manner. Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana. And then he is addressing the dunya. Hayhat, hayhat. Please get away from me. I've divorced you. Please get away from me. And then he addresses the dunya in so many details. majlisuki haqir, wa zaduki qalil. What can you, what provisions you have? Nothing. And sitting with you is such a despicable thing, meaning being in your companionship. And so many other aspects he mentioned in this way. And he would spend the night in that manner, begging Allah Ta'ala, beseeching Allah Ta'ala, and chasing dunya away from him. So this second aspect in this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min qalbin la yakhsha. Just to finish off on these, briefly on the last two aspects, wa min nafsin la tashba. Ya Allah, I seek your protection, I seek refuge in you, from that nafs which is never satiated. And now this is the biggest problem that we have, that nafs which has no satiation, no contentment. Contentment obviously first to be content fully on what is halal only. Not to have any desire to get into, or if any desire, then that has to be cut right at the root. To get it beyond the line of halal, out of the question. But even within the boundaries of halal, there's a degree of contentment that is necessary. Otherwise, there's many halal things, there's no limit to that too in a sense. Person's whole life will come out in that. So contentment, the lack of contentment is a major disaster in a person's life. One person said, I'm a shopaholic. What kind of holic is this? Wallahu alam. He says, well, anything I see, I just need to buy. Anything you see, you need to buy. She says, hey, I got about 60 pairs of shoes. 60 pairs of shoes. If you wear one pair every day, the next day, the next pair, then it will take you 2 months to finish one cycle. But 3/4 of the shoes, you're not going to wear it on a day-to-day basis. So some you probably will wear once a year. Some you might forget it and realize, hey, I didn't wear this for 3 years now. In the meantime, you bought another 10. But now where this came from? It came from the lack of that contentment. There's 50, he forgot what he wore, what he didn't wear, he forgot what he's there to. Some of it, he probably forgot what is there. And if he had to sell all those shoes, because all bought at a price, he'll probably feed maybe whole communities for a couple of days. People who are starving, he'll feed whole communities for maybe a whole week. But now where this, why would a person do that, that he doesn't even know what's there and he's still buying more of the same, the lack of any contentment. And just carries on and on and on. In different aspects, whatever it might be, whether it is in material things, whether it is in the type of what a person passes his time in. So it is something that's halal, some halal leisure to now just get him a little bit more, lighten his heart and mind, provided it's all within the limits of Sharia, but then there's no satiation. That becomes an obsession. Within that limit it was okay. But now that became an obsession. And those obsessions then lead to haram then. It starts off on halal, but then it becomes an obsession. That obsession becomes a stepping stone to haram. Because after a while, there's no satiation, so you're looking for something else. So the one thing leads to another. And then the life just goes in a terrible cycle then. It becomes a cycle, vicious cycle they call it, but it is more than that. Takes a person on a downward slope then. So this contentment, innal ghina ghina nafs, the greatest wealth is the wealth of the heart of contentment. And the last aspect, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, I mean, dua illa yustajabu lah. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from dua which is not answered. What a tragedy that a mu'min is asking Allah Ta'ala, but is not answered. If a person had to ask, somebody asked his parents something, and he knows they got it, but they declined it. He asked somebody for some favor, he knows this person is well within his reach to sort it out, but he declined it, just straight declined it. He'll feel so disappointed, feel so heartbroken. But what can be a greater tragedy that he's asking Allah Ta'ala and gets declined? But it's not declined because Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give. The system, there's a system, he follows a system, then it'll be answered. So there's a system, there's so many details to it, no time to get into that. Part of the system is that he's asking, but he's nourished with halal. There's no haram involved anywhere. Otherwise that haram becomes a barrier from the acceptance of dua. Haram in the system, haram in the system or in the clothing or in his possessions, whatever is linked to him at that time, that nourishment was from some haram, something mixed up somewhere in the income, whatever. Now he can be making dua on Arafat, he can be making dua while at Multazam, holding on to the ghilaf of the Kaaba Sharif, and wherever he might be, it might be Laylatul Qadr, and it might be in the Haram Sharif, but that dua is not going to go anywhere. If it is already, that it is mixed with some haram, he's asking. And likewise, there are so many other things, this is just one example, one aspect, that becomes a barrier from the acceptance of dua. So this is also the lesson, that yes, dua we must be making earnestly, but make sure we haven't put any barriers in the way. Otherwise we'll be asking a lot of things, but getting nowhere. So this is a very, very concise dua, like the many, many duas, but so much of knowledge in it, so much of direction and guidance for us. If we just latch on to some of these aspects too, and start making an effort to bring alive the heart, to connect the heart to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our dunya will get made, our akhirat will get made. So this is what the effort is all about. The effort of tazkiyah, the effort of zikr, the effort of correcting ourselves, the effort of da'wat and tabligh is also to bring us onto the same point, to connect ourselves to Allah ta'ala. All the ijtimas that take place for the same purpose, connect us to Allah ta'ala, to come in that environment with a seeking heart, not just a curious heart, come to see what's going on. Many times, we just go there too, many places, we go to just see what's going on. No, to go to seek, with talab, the deep desire that I want to take something from here. I want to connect my heart to Allah Ta'ala. To attend in that manner, attend with that zeal, how we can correct ourselves, we ourselves can come back to Allah Ta'ala, bring others, and become part of the ijtima, become part of the khidmat that will be required there, we being the host. In this way we will benefit also, and we will share in the benefit, the rewards of the benefit that others will take as well. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Beside the Rujri. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah,
Nainaha innanna, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kaseeran kaseera. Allah Allahu jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu. Allah 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kaseeran kaseeran. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك الله لا اله الا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا احدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو اهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا ظلمنا انفسنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا اله الا الله الحليم الكريم
سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين إله العالمين يا الله most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah يا الله forgive us يا الله يا الله forgive us يا الله يا الله forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله إله العالمين يا الله make us your obedient and loyal servants يا الله إله العالمين يا الله bring alive our hearts يا الله يا الله bring alive our hearts يا الله يا الله bring alive our hearts with your ذكر يا الله with the tilawat of the Quran Sharif يا الله with the amal of deen يا الله with the efforts of deen يا الله إله العالمين يا الله يا الله save us from all the things that deaden the heart يا الله save us from all the vices and sins يا الله save us from all the غفلت يا الله save us from all the haram of the eyes يا الله the haram of the ears يا الله the haram of the tongue يا الله and all the haram that يا الله that we end up falling into يا الله you save us يا الله يا الله forgive all the wrongs we have done يا الله we are turning to you يا الله in sincere توبه tonight يا الله we are begging your forgiveness يا الله out of your grace and mercy forgive us يا الله forgive us يا الله we regret all the wrongs we have done يا الله we are ashamed of the things we have done يا الله out of your grace and mercy يا الله forgive us يا الله make us among the muttaqin يا الله make us among the muhsinin يا الله make us among the tawabin يا الله among those who sincerely repent يا الله إله العالمين يا الله make us among those who you love يا الله who are your loyal servants يا الله bless us with your محبت يا الله fill our hearts with your محبت يا الله إله العالمين يا الله guide us to all that which pleases you يا الله save us from everything that displeases you يا الله إله العالمين يا الله all those who are sick give them شفاء كاملة عاجلة مستمرة دائمة يا الله remove every trace of their ailments يا الله يا الله those are in hospitals يا الله give them complete شفاء عافية يا الله إله العالمين يا الله those are any kind of difficulties hardship worry sorrow grief يا الله out of your grace and mercy remove it with عافية يا الله يا الله grant اطمئنان and سكون to one and all يا الله يا الله fill the hearts with اطمئنان يا الله fill the hearts with سكون يا الله إله العالمين يا الله يا الله you grant us the reality that you have mentioned in your Quran Sharif يا الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب With your, the zikr of Allah to the hearts, get that peace and itminan. Ya Allah, you fill our hearts with itminan through your zikr, Ya Allah, through the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, Ya Allah, through salah, Ya Allah, through righteous deeds, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts out from all the pride, Ya Allah, from the arrogance, Ya Allah, from the jealousy, Ya Allah, from the malice, Ya Allah, from the love of the ego, Ya Allah, from the love of dunya, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, Ya Allah, with the love of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the love of his Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah, with the love of deen, Ya Allah, with the love of the amal of deen, Ya Allah, with the love of the efforts of deen, Ya Allah. Allah, accept us in our progeny till Qiyamat for the khidmat of deen, Ya Allah, with ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabuliyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, all those, Ya Allah, in any kind of difficulty and hardship, Ya Allah, remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat in deen, Ya Allah, afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, keep all steadfast on iman and Islam till the last breath, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah, grant afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, brothers and sisters of Gaza, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you shower your special grace on them, Ya Allah, shower your special rahmat on them, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, you protect them, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you strengthen them against their enemies, Ya Allah, you assist them, Ya Allah, ilahul alameen, Ya Allah, shower your special mercy on them, Ya Allah, Ilahul Alameen, strengthen them against their enemies, Ya Allah. Strengthen the Mujahideen, Ya Allah. Grant them victory, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant hidayah to their enemies also, Ya Allah. If hidayah is not decreed for them, Ya Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'ta. Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'ta. Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'ta. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us a tawfiq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, of taking ibrat, Ya Allah.
of taking a lesson, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are still in this ghaflat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't even have time to raise our hands, Ya Allah. And make dua for the difficulties, Ya Allah. For those who are in the difficulties in all parts of the world, Ya Allah. Those who are suffering such ajeeb torment in Gaza, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't even have the time, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, because our hands are so occupied with so many things, Ya Allah. It's occupied with pressing buttons, Ya Allah. It's occupied with scrolling, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there's no time for the hands to be raised in dua, Ya Allah. No time for the hands to be holding the Quran Sharif, Ya Allah. No time for the fingers to be engaged in dhikr, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, how will we answer on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, how will we answer on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah? Ilahul Alameen, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with khashiyat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with khashiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, we have no idea how long we still have of life, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, suddenly Malakul Maut may arrive, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, what condition we are going to meet you in, Ya Allah? Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, give us death on perfect iman, Ya Allah. Death on perfect iman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, on taqwa, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, in a condition you are pleased with us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from a bad death, Ya Allah. Save us from a death in your disobedience, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, you grant us all the khair and barakah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, all who asked us to make dua for them, all who have raised their hands to this dua, fulfill each one's jais needs, pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Remove each one's grief, sorrow, anxieties, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Grant every khair, barakat, afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, our greatest need is to become yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب